Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. For we know that the name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Glory to his name. Glory to his name, his precious name. There to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Truly God is worthy of honor, he's worthy of glory, and he's worthy of all praise. And we thank God for you in listening Radio Land. You have tuned in, that's right, to get tuned on to the frequency of JESUS. And we know that he is the best. That's right, as we lean and depend on his everlasting arm, he will deliver us. He will strengthen us. He will bless us. He will prosper us. He will keep us. He will elevate us. He will motivate us. He will continue on in the greatness of his presence to reveal himself to his people. And oh, what a wonderful time to be in the body of Christ. Let me tell you something. There's so many people that have fallen by the wayside. So many people that have given up on the journey. I don't, and I know that you don't, on this glorious and victorious afternoon, maybe evening, wherever you are, depending on the adjacentness of your time zone. It may be morning, it may be night, it may be midnight. But I don't believe that he has brought us this far to leave. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. We're blessing your name on this glorious and victorious Sunday. We know it is the 19th of June, 2022. You've tuned in to the manner of speaking where God opens up his word and reveals his presence, where we can feel the magnetism of God's miraculous presence right in the here and now. We know what he did in the past. Oh, but he's going to do even greater in the present and in the future. And let me tell you something. The songwriter said, oh, I just love this song by Inez Andrews. He said, he just keeps doing great things for me. Oh, he keeps doing great things for me. Right when I think he's done one thing, he's done five. Right when I am celebrating the fine things that he's done, he multiplies it to 10. That's why he tells us to give, and it shall be given again in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men get into our bosoms. I'm going to tell you something. God is a God of magnificence. He defines all levels, and defines as well, all levels of explanation. When you just reach out in faith and trust him at his word, God will do the impossible. He will fix that which you could never even comprehend on how it was fixed. He will make a way out of no way, even if he has to pave the way. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And I just think that it's so befitting at this time to just tell him thank you. Thank you. I know many of you are celebrating what's called Juneteenth, the liberation of African Americans from slavery. That's wonderful. We acknowledge that history has taught us many lessons, valuable lessons. And if we take note to history, we can write another chapter in the book of life that will be fruitful and multiplicious in its publication and its endeavors. So it's a wonderful thing just to give thanks to God, because we know that he is the platform of all things, both great and small. And we're just thanking him on today and thanking God for you joining in with us. And let me tell you something. It was good before, but the best is yet to come. Trust God. Stop trusting your intellect. Stop trusting your vision, your natural vision. Stop trusting what mankind is presenting to you as validity, as comprehensive resource. Stop trusting it. When you do that, you are limiting God's ability to work on your behalf. You're not limiting his power, because he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowing, and he is omnipresent at every place and at every given time. But God is telling you, speak this word of knowledge is for someone out in listening radio land. Grab this word, embed it within you, and allow God to make manifest the miraculous in your life. He says, you have trusted in people. People have failed you. You have trusted in your situation, in your circumstance. Your situation took a turn for the negative. You have trusted in your comfort zone, and your comfort zone has now become your uncomfortable zone. Now God is saying, now you must trust me. Let go and let me fix your situation. There's more than one. Let me reestablish you. Let me realign you. Let me redesign you, because I'm leading you into the path of excellence. You will not know a dry season again if you trust me, if you believe me, if you take my word and embed it within you. You will be unmovable. But know where your deliverance came from. It came from the Lord, thy God, that created the heaven and the earth and all things, both great and small, within it. Will you praise me? Will you acknowledge me? Will you glorify my name? This is what God wants you to do. And it's coming. The deliverance is coming. The frustration, the aggravation, the fear, the desolation, the depression, the oppression, even the suppression is coming to a quick halt. Because there has been some that have sat around you that were evil, that hoped your demise. They wanted what you had, because they see the hand of God favoring you, and they want to stop the very blessings of God in your life. Let me tell you something, word of knowledge. No man can curse you. No man can hinder you when God has blessed you. And if they're not careful, he will move them out of the way permanently. So stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord, because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. So let's get our praise right on. Let's get on our shouting shoes. Let's get those hands raised and elevated to heaven, and just let's start praising the Lord. For God dwells in the midst of praises. We're so quick to praise other people. We're so quick to acknowledge the deeds of others. How quick, how vigilant, how diligent are we to recognize and praise God? We need to get our priorities in order. And sometimes God allows difficulties, circumstances, questionable situations to come to get us back on track. Because sometimes we become so lackluster in the faith. We become unfit. You know, a person that has been contoured or trained or disciplined into a certain level of physical exercise and activity, and that person suddenly becomes laid back and they start eating and extenuating things that are not good in their life. And they begin to start putting on weight. That means that their endurance, their propensity, that's like their agility is impacted. And it's not impacted in a good way. And this is what happens sometimes as believers. Sometimes we get out of shape. We stop reading the word. We stop praying. We stop focusing on God. And we start focusing on ourselves. And we let our faith go. God doesn't leave us. It's us that walks away from him. And then situations, we open the door. We open up the portal. And these negative influences, these negative people, these negative energies start coming in and eating away, gnawing away. Why? Because we open up the door and we allow the evil and the malevolent in. But know this, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. And when we call on the name of Jesus, he hears us. And Satan hears us. And he trembles. He becomes fearful because he knows that name carries the authority in the heavens and in the earth. Because it's at the name of Jesus every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So he trembles. He becomes fearful. And he has to flee. And this is why we must constantly stay in shape, spiritual shape. That's why we must lay aside every weight, hindrance, and even the sin, the infraction that can so easily knock us off course. Beset means get taken off course, get distracted, and must look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord, that you have allowed your children to come together. Lord, that we may acknowledge you. We may glorify you. We may speak your word. We may pray the prayer of faith. And that through our faith, the miracles happen. The manifestation of the miracles happen. And Father God, we're speaking healing in the body. We're speaking healing in the mind and in the spirit. We're speaking wealth and prosperity to those who are desolate and don't know where to turn and where to go. That you will be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, our provider. Father God, we're speaking right now to those who are in radio land, Lord. Bless them. Bless the power of your word. Let the anointing of you break the yoke, break the very variances that's going on in their lives. Father God, we praise you, Father God, for bringing the family unit back together again. Lord, we thank you for peace in the workplace. We thank you for divine protection. But Lord, we know that he that dwelleth in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We thank you, Father God, for strengthening those who are weak in the faith, Lord, and restoring them back to their place of originality. Father God, we're asking that you bless and look upon us, breathe upon us, Heavenly Father, that we be blessed and we be a blessing to those who are in need, that we carry forth this word unto every creature, Lord, through the highways, through the byways, telling them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that the kingdom has come, and that your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And Father God, to those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, Lord, give them comfort. Wrap your loving arms of care around them, Lord, and let them know, as Apostle Paul said, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord, and there's no better place for them to be. And Father God, to those who are fighting the good fight of faith, who are teaching and preaching the unadulterated word, who are taking a true stand and are not compromising. Father God, we're asking that you protect them, that you keep them, that you shelter them under your care, and that you provide for them, God, and despite every temptation of the enemy that's attempting to bring them down. And Father God, we praise you. We're glorifying you, Lord. We're speaking that the congregations would turn away from their ways of the world, and they would come back to the fold of holiness, of righteousness, of doing what you said do, as opposed to being dictated to by the world. And Father God, we're even asking a revival in this land, Lord, that this land is healed. Healed, Lord, from the highest governmental office to the community leaders, the businesses, the establishments, the neighbors, the schools, the other entities surrounding the community, that they would join together and honor you and do what is right and care for those who need caring. Father God, we're thanking you on this glorious and victorious afternoon as we are, as we go into your word. Open up the wisdom of thy presence. Open up the windows of our knowledge and the capacity of our understanding. In thy blessed name, Jesus Christ, we thank you for all these blessings. Let us say amen. We are in a spirit of agreement when we say amen. Let us go back to the 18th division of Psalms. Psalms is one of the most fortifying and one of the most edificational books in the Bible, and the longest. Psalms is comprised of 150 compositions. Some people refer to them as compositions, as poetic exposés, as songs. It is a literary piece that will inspire you, that will encourage you, will also send the way of correction to you. We, in the book of Psalms, we get so many vast plethora of subject matters dealing with life, challenge, fear, anger, uncertainty, distress, joy, sorrow, peace, laughter, tears. Every human elementation of emotional projection is reflected in Psalms. That's right, and we know that David, as he was out and about, trying to survive, trying to take refuge so that he could take his place on the throne at God's anointed and appointed time, he faced many perils, and he's one of the chief writers of the book of Psalms. And you know that God's hand was upon him, because what happened was that God had appointed him to become king. And the present king, who was Saul, knew this, and Saul was angry because he saw the divine favor of God upon David, and he knew that he would be exalted to become king. See, what God has for you, understand this, no man can take it from you. That's right. God oftentimes has to purge us, has to chasten us, so that we don't get the wrong understanding about who we are, where we are, and what our assignment is. And sometimes God has to constantly bring the validity, the confirmation of our assignment to us, because we get distracted. We get distracted with things in our lives, with the relationships of our families. We get distracted. And sometimes God has to send that rod of correction to shake us up and to get us back on that course. But he's not going to allow anyone to take anything from us, to harm us, or to endanger us, because we are his. We bear his seal of redemption. And that is a mark that cannot and that will not be erased. Say that, I know. Say it. Say it now. Positive affirmation. I belong to God, and that God belongs to me. For I am one of his people and a sheep in his pasture. And when you know that God has you, You're going to see the manifestation of miracles on a perpetuating basis. Don't you know that God has so many miracles that he wants to work for us? But we allow ourselves to get in the way by our behavior, by becoming lazy in the faith, by getting distracted, by putting other things ahead of what God says. Don't forget, he is the foundation in which we are built upon, not the other way around. And this is what God oftentimes, once again, sends the rod of correction, shake us up, and wake us up. And here in the 18th division of Psalms, as we were in teaching previously, we're going to continue on in the ways of this level of instruction. Let's go to the 22nd verse. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. What is David saying? He says, all of God's prerequisitions are right in front of me. Because I knew this, I refused to compromise in carrying out his instruction for me to trust him. See, because you trust God, sometimes your trust is going to be tried. Why? Because we know that we have an enemy. And Jesus spake to Peter. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. He said, but I've already prayed, your faith faileth you not. And what is this ingredient, this main ingredient, faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, in having faith, that's the confidence. Faith is confidence, unwavering confidence. Say it with me. Faith is unwavering confidence. That's right. See, hope is a futuristic projection. This is how hope is different from faith. Faith says, right here, right now, Lord, I need this. I'm trusting you. Everything on the external standpoint does not look favorable. I'm looking to you, Jehovah Jireh. That's what faith says. Hope says, Lord, I'm trusting that somehow, some way, somewhere along the line, that's for a futuristic projection. But when you need the miracle now, you have to stand in faith. That's right. And he's saying, I've done this. I know that I've done this. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from what? Mine iniquity. He meant that, Lord, there was times I just wanted to just go out there and just take Saul on myself and just do him in. He said, but I defied that temptation by turning away, saying, if I take justice into my hands, then God won't get the glory. But if I stand forth and stand fast in your presence and trust you and call upon you, you will not only win the battle, you will hand me the victory. And his victory was also condensed of that crown as king being placed upon his head. So he knew what was required of him. He said, what? Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands is his eyesight, in his eyesight. He said, therefore, God, you have not failed me. You have provided for me every time a safe haven. You have given me all that I need because I trusted in you. See, when we trust in God and not in ourselves, we will never come up short because he will always show up and he will show out right when we need it most. And that is his promise unto us. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. That's saying, God, as I trust you, you will impel your trust within me. As I praise you, you will give reconciliation to me. As I stand on your promises, you will give me the ability to withstand. When I give thanks unto you and praise your name, you will set me in favorable positions with those who will serve me, who don't know anything about me, but they know that the mark of God is upon me and that that mark cannot be erased. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward, thou wilt show thyself forth. This is the reason why the scripture tells us in the book of Galatians 4:6, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. When we say that we are of the circumcision, we're worshiping and praising God, that means that our stature needs to represent the kingdom of heaven. We can't conduct ourselves in the manner as other men who are forward, of other men who are righteous and rebellious. We have to walk in the way of the light so that we will be enlightened, so that we will be the example that God would have us to be. For thou will save the afflicted people, but will bring down high look. What is David saying? He said, Lord, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of them all. And David also said in his more grandiose age setting, he says, I once was young, but now I'm old. He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. This is the promise of God. He will not leave us empty-handed. He will not leave us defenseless. He will not leave us hungry. He will not leave us destitute. He will not leave us alone. We may sometimes feel lonely, but we're never alone. That's why, because God sends his angels so that they give charges, order over us to keep us in all of our ways, because God's voice commanded it so. So he's saying, you are a God of righteousness, a God of greatness, a God who looks upon the most minuscule and prioritizes it as the most important. That's right. That's why Jesus said this. He said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So this is just standing on the promises of what God has preordained, predestined unto each and every one of us. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. That means, God, you're going to fix the situation in spite of how it looks. My hands are limited. My abilities are inconstruent. But, Lord, thou art mighty. Thou art almighty. Thou will do it this to your honor and glory. You know, you consider even the fact about Moses. How many of you remember the great escape? The children of Israel going through the Red Sea. They were looking at that sea saying, what are you doing, Moses? You know, there had to be some questionable feedback. When Moses stood there, Moses was hearing from God. And the people were chattering and questioning and fearful. And when God told Moses to take that step, take that rod and strike, and that when he would do it, the Red Sea would part down the middle, and the children of Israel could walk through to the other side to get to the promised land. Do you not know that God does the miraculous with the most simplistic things? That's like, who would ever look at a staff, a rod, that one would use to help keep the sheep in motion? And some of them would even use a staff or a rod to help them to walk if they had some impedimencies as far as their balance was concerned. God took it and made it a huge and massive weapon, a weapon that caused the Red to divide. So this is the reason why we must trust in God, because God's frequency is supernatural. It defies all clinical and scientific and logical explanation. And this is what he's saying. By thee, I have run through a troop. He's saying, Lord, because of you, I've run a tortured army. Don't you know what? God will make your very enemies, your opposing forces, to be a footstool to hoist you up to the next level where you can receive even a greater degree of blessing and prosperity. People think they hurt you, God making them to bless you. Because the more they try to hurt you, the more they're angering him, and the more he's going to bless you because you're holding your peace and let him fight the battle, and that's the more wrath that they're impinging upon themselves. And he's, what else did he say? He said, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Oh, I love that scripture. It says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They said, what? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. That's right. He said, they shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Those are the very elemental promises that God has instituted for each and every one of us. Can we do it? Can we handle it? Can we acknowledge that it's God and not us? It is him that has given us greatness. It is him that has given us victory. It is him that has assured us the victory over every giant in life. It is his hand that runs forth the miracles that manifest in the physical realm. God is a God of omnipotence. Don't you know omnipotence means all-powerful? Ain't nobody challenge it. He's all-powerful. Here. Oh, my God, what a blessing from the Lord. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Oh, my God. He said he is a buckler. A buckler is the person that has your front, your back, your side, your over, and your under. They are vigilant, and whoever comes against you comes against them. And you know what? No competition. No competition. Who can compete against God? You think about it. Think about it. Who can compete against him? None. Despite their level of intelligence, their level of intelligence can sit in a half-case symbol. He's the master of the universe. He's the all-powerful. He's the all-knowing. He's the ever-present. Can a natural man do that? No. So therefore, when we put our full confidence in God, he provides, he protects, he keeps, he blesses, and he prospers us. And can't nobody, you might have some haters. I'm going to tell you something. This week, it's going to be a whole lot of haters going on. It's going to be saying, how does she get that? How does she become so happy? How does she end up with this? How did he become so prosperous? It's God's favor. See, when God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody can be against us, come against us, or try us. Because if they do, in the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every tongue got to confess that he's Lord. So if they're serving the enemy, coming at you, God going to shut them up and shut them down. It's just that simple. That's right. It's just that simple. For who is God, save the Lord? Or who is a rock, save our God? He's saying, who can come against God? Who can question God? Who can stand against him? None can. There's no competition. No, there's no adversity. It's God yesterday. It's God today. It'll be God tomorrow. He is Lord. He is Lord. He commands. He speaks, it moves. He speaks, it stops. He speaks, it turns over. He speaks, doors open. He speaks, doors get tore down. He speaks, the road is made straight. He speaks, that road can be destroyed. He speaks, troublemakers cease. He speaks, liars have to be quiet. He speaks, saboteurs have to take flight. He speaks. Action happens. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my way perfect. Are we perfect? No. We are imperfect beings to desire the presence and the manifestation of a perfect God. So while we're imperfect, he's perfect. So he looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. And see, when we call upon the name of Jesus, when we fall short, because we're going to fall short, we're going to sometimes not stand in the manner which we should. Father God does not hold it against us because he sees us through the eyes of his beloved and only begotten Son when we take on the name of Jesus. That's the reason why it's only in the name of Jesus that we attain salvation. Only in the name of Jesus we attain deliverance. Because God sees us through his only begotten Son's eyes. And we must continually remember that. He maketh my feet like hind feet and setteth me upon my high place. That means, God, he exalts me. He promotes me. Divine favor comes from me. See, when you walk and you're chasing after God, prosperity will come looking for you. When you're chasing after God, desiring God, promotions will come for you. When you're chasing and following after God, exaltation will come for you. When you're chasing and following after God, great news will come for you. Opportunities that you never imagined. When you chase God, see what happens is that we put the cart in front of the horse and we've forgotten the very anomaly of how the cart and the horse move in synchronicity. What happens is that the cart goes behind the horse. See, that means that we put God in front and we follow behind, and whatever is good in that path will be drawn and attracted to us. Because we have attained favor from God. He teaches my hands to war, that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. What is he saying? He teaches me how to withstand in my faith. So that when I am questioned, because God promised us the prosperity, the wealth, the excellent health, the posture, the greatness and the blessing with persecution. What does that mean? People wondering, how did you do this? How did you get that? How did you attain this posture? How did you get this favor? They don't acknowledge God. They lie. They speak a lie, and they believe a lie and condemn themselves. But you're walking in the truth because you delight in the way of the truth. You delight in the counsel of God. And as a result, God is allowing all these wonderful things to happen in your life. You can't even explain. Look, we can't explain it. We can't explain it. We can say it's just the Lord. Persecution is people questioning the integrity of how you got so much so quick. That's the persecution we're talking about. You can't be persecuted when you don't have anything. Amen? When you down and out, you ain't no competition. You ain't no threat to the enemy. You're a threat to the enemy when all these things are present and prevalent in your life. Because the world is saying one thing, but God has said something else in reflection to you and to those who believe in him. So, yes, you get persecuted. People question integrity, want to know things about you, want to say snide things about you. Jesus told us what? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. He said, in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon their head. That means the vengeance of God is going to encase those people, and they'll be done away with. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. People say things to offset you, to try to bring you down. Don't get mad with them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Let God pay them back. Because see, God's method of payment holds no late fees. It holds no barriers. It holds no injustices on your behalf. Because God has done it. Okay? Now here we go. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand holds me up, and thy gentleness have made me great. He's saying, God, not only have you blessed and prospered me and settled me in and strengthened me and have set me in heavy places in you, you have provided a wall of protection around me so that I am not moved by any of the things that are occurring around me. Because why? I know that I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, so therefore I'm automatically abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And there is no safer place than that. So as the believers of God through Jesus Christ, we're to be wise, but we're not to live in a spirit of fear. Because see, fear has a torment. Fear will have you living in a way that you are not producing anything. Why? Because you're afraid. And some people that say, oh, I'm afraid to even sit on my porch. God provided me a place of residency where my rent, my mortgage is paid. I can sit on my porch if I desire to. Now, if I hear people out there that are screaming and yelling and acting in a ambivalent way, and they may utilize a method of artillery or a firearm or something to get hurt, no, I'm not going to go sit out there. Why am I going to try to tempt God? I know who he is and what he does and what he can do. Know that. I live that. You live it. Now, I'm not going to put myself in harm's way, but I'm not going to be in the spirit of fear. I want to sit out there. I'm going to sit. And some people say, oh, I wouldn't even go in the storm. I'm scared to go. No, I'm not, because God has provided for me the ability to pay for my groceries and for my provisions and to pay for the provisions and help others. I'm not going to live in fear, because fear has a torment. See, we have faith. Faith is the opposing force of fear. Now, wisdom says, be what? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because the adversary is going about as a roaring lion. Yes, we're vigilant. We're looking. We're praying without ceasing. But we're walking in the confidence of knowing that God protects his own. And on saying that, have a blessed Sunday afternoon. We'll come back to you again next week as we continue on through this glorious and victorious book of Psalms 18. The very blessings of God rest upon each and every one of you. And be blessed in all that you're doing. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Be blessed, celebrate, and keep those testimonies coming. For we know that Peter overcame the devil by the words of his testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week. This is your host, the Most from Coast to Coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Self-Notes, the Motor City, Mile Ronnie, saying, I can do, and listen, you say it too, this is scriptural, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Have a blessed, miraculous, and victorious week.